All right, go to 3 John 1:1. 3 John 1:1. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be back home.
Yes.
Might have to sing the John Denver song. Praise God. It's good to be with the family.
Amen.
We had fun. The Lopez's and me and Deb and some of our family members trekked back on ATVs into Bobcat Pass.
Cool.
It was fun. Amanda was driving. You should have seen her. Going up and, I mean, we were right on the edge. Toby loves to take me on the edge of things. But I sat behind him so I could choke him. It was fun. There wasn't enough snow for us to snowmobile. That was disappointing, but we had a lot of fun. And then Art decided to go skating out on a frozen lake. And if you've seen the Facebook on it, it's quite humorous. He gets 40 feet out there, and all of a sudden the thing starts cracking. It wouldn't have gone down. It was that thick. But it kind of cracked on the top, you know. And so you can hear me on the tape going, "Get over here, son," or something like that. So he's going, and but you got to see Amanda in it. You know, it's great. So it's not quite as funny as Rachel trying to get away from the stingray, but praise the Lord. I hope you had a good time. We did. And we were with our friends Jim and Misty, and that's always a blessing. 3 John 1:1, are you there? The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Interesting. I've had this since, I don't know, right before Christmas to start with you all on this, and it came up last night. So that's just so awesome. We know we're right on the right path. So I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy to hear that my children walk in truth. So we're talking about the prosperous soul here, even as your soul prospers, even as your soul prospers. And so we started back on Wednesday night. It is my focus that everyone will prosper, see theirs and God's dreams come true, come to pass, be healed, and walk in health. That is what God has put on my heart to bring this family into, which obviously is what God wants. Above all things, it said. So that's what we're going to do. Now, this is what we're going for. We're going to get in the best condition that we can get in, spirit, soul, and body, if you'll participate. You're going to get in the best condition. Amen.
Yes.
We're not going to catch every bug that comes along.
Amen.
We're not going to go run out of money before a month.
Yes.
And all those kind of things. We're going to prosper.
Right.
We're going to get picked. We're going to be favored.
Amen.
Amen. And that is ministry.
It is.
Doing well is ministry. People want to serve a God who loves them, who is good to them, and our God is good to us. So we're going to go ahead and receive what he has for us. And of course, you can do ministry when you have some anointing, you have some money, and you feel good.
It's so good.
It is so good. Now, so there are things then we need to look at here. One thing we need to understand is there are certain spiritual laws, church, not legalism. I'm talking about spiritual laws that come to pass, spiritual things. Faith is a driving law. There are things that work in the spirit realm that you have to get into, and you can change some things in your natural life if you flow the right way. Now, there's a spiritual law, I'm just jumping ahead here, but seed time and harvest is the kingdom. That's how the kingdom works. Well, where'd you get that, Pastor? Well, I got that in Mark 4. I got it in Luke 8 and Matthew 13. The Bible says this is how the kingdom works. Jesus said it. He said, this is how the kingdom works. A man sows a seed and he waits for it to come. And then when the seed comes up, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, and he reaps the harvest. That's what Jesus said. So we don't have to make up what kingdom is. That's a lot of things. It's the realm. It's the rule. It's the reign of God. But in our situation right now, we're talking about pulling from the realm what belongs to us. And so we would do that with seed time and harvest. I've already jumped way ahead, but it's true. And so the thing that we need to really get a hold of, I was asking the prayer group earlier if they knew what a phylactery is. Some of you know what a phylactery is, raise your hand. Okay, so you need to know. The rest of them found out at the prayer meeting. Phylactery is this little object with leather strings on it. You can go look it up. And the Jews had the word of God in it. And they would put it right here on their head and they would tie it on their head. Keep it before your eyes. Proverbs. Keep the word before your eyes, okay? So the reason why I'm bringing up phylactery is because I'm going to tell you something right now that if you will keep this before your eyes for 2023, you're going to have the success you want. Are you ready? You sure you're ready? Because I'm going to tell you, this year we need to make the Word of God final authority. Word first. Not what we think. Yeah. Well, you know, I know the Bible said that, but I think, no. What did the Bible say? Mm-hmm. Well, I know, but I just think it was so-and-so's time that they died. No. Well, what did the Bible say? That's not what the Bible said. The Bible says that the thief kills. That's right. Yeah, God doesn't. Well, let me see. I'll just go through here and pick a time when I want so-and-so to. God's not doing that. No. I know it's God's will to heal, but I don't seem to be getting healed. So he must be trying to teach me something. What does the Bible say? The Bible says nothing about that. No. Nothing. Oh yes, Paul's thorn in the flesh. It said that was a messenger of Satan.
Right.
It's time to quit. Grandma taught it. I bought it. It's time to just going back on your emotions when something doesn't work out right. Oh, wow. Say this, the word is final authority. I believe it.
I receive it.
That's the way it's going to go.
Now
that's where we're going to have to go this year. You can't decide to build your own doctrine. And if you're off on something a little bit, the Holy Spirit will help you. He'll help you get on track. Just ask him. So we're not going to make new doctrines. The word is going to be final authority. What does it say? And that, listen, that's the question, quote, answer to every question. Well, mama, why da 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 da? Well, honey, what does the word say? Well, pastor, da 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 da. Well, what does the word say? Well, checkbook, what does the word say? You see what I'm saying? Well, emotions, what does the word say? I got to trek down the line here. We got to get going. So the word's going to be final authority. The kingdom, according to the word of God, is like leaven. You speak, it spreads.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, that's what happens. So to work the kingdom, you use more, but basically three things. Faith, worship, and your God-given spiritual authority. Those are the things that are going to tap the realm and bring that atmosphere to this atmosphere. And it's going to cause things to move. That's what happens. Now, we know this, but we need to know it again. And so it's time to build our faith up and start using it, church. Mm-hmm. Not just say we're a faith church. Come on. Mm-hmm. Amen. So, and then again, once, I already told you this, but the kingdom system is seed time and harvest. We'll talk more about that later. Now, so let's go ahead and talk about the three things then that we're building on. First of all, we'll roll through it like this, but the prosperous soul, prosperity is the ability to take the ability of God and bless mankind. So prosperity is not just that you made $5 million last week. That's good. But prosperity is way more than that. It means to succeed in what you're reaching for. So we see that it's more than financial. And then prosperous soul, your soul is what? Mind. Mind, will, and emotions. So your soul sitting in your spirit. Your spirit is doing fine. It's born again. It's newly created. It's good. When you're born again, your spirit then was resurrected, but your soul is still getting saved. You're working on it. So your will has to choose truth. What does the word say? You're going to have to do that with your will. Yeah, sometimes you're like, I don't understand this. This just doesn't seem like it's right. But your will is going to choose the truth. Sometimes it doesn't feel good at all. We're called to love one another. And sometimes, and that's the truth. But sometimes you want to take your marbles and go home. But that's not the truth. See, it's really none of my business whether you love me. It's my business to love you. That's right, Pastor, and y'all, you need to love us. But that goes for you too. Because you can't really control someone else. But if you'll love them, you will reap the harvest. Getting ahead of myself here. I'll say something important to you about it in a minute. But you have to choose, and so you're going to have to choose with your will. You're going to have to renew your mind daily, and your emotions have to know their place. Did you just get that? So mind, will, and emotions. So you're going to renew your mind. Say renew your mind.
Renew your mind.
Choose right things with my will.
Right,
and keep my emotions in place. Okay? So that's what you're going to have to do. Thank you, Lord. The Lord just said something to me. He said, I like this. I'm glad you do, Lord. Thank you. Because you thought of it. So when you feed your spirit, when you renew your mind, and when you tell your feelings how to behave and you use them properly, you'll prosper. You're just going to prosper. And so you feed your spirit and faith comes. You renew your thoughts captive. And then you worship the Lord. And believe it or not, that helps you with your emotions. Because emotions were built to relate. When we all came in this morning, we were all like, oh, and we're all hugging each other. Because what most of us haven't been apart for 2 weeks in a long, long, long time. And so we're all around hugging each other. Shadrach saying, I'm so glad we're all back together. I mean, John and Danny are already at their little sparring going on, which they flirt with each other every day and have fun. And you know what I mean by flirt. And so that's where you relate. And then you relate to God with worship, which you need emotions for that. Lord, I love you. And an emotion gets involved, you know. So, but you got to know what to do with them. And so we're going to get a lot of help in that. So the idea then is to get your soul and your body to follow your spirit. Yeah. Well, I'm just a faith person, glory to God, but I hate the Democrats. I hate the Republicans. No, those don't work together. No, they don't. Oh, it got quiet. No. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, now I've said this to you many, many times. You need to know God, who He is, what He's really like. You need to know your enemy, what is He capable of? And then you need to know yourself, who you are and what you're capable of. You need to know all those things, and you need to keep a watch over all those things. So important. And so this is who you are. That's what you're going to have, because you're going to know and remember how good God is and that the enemy's already defeated. Now, let me say this to you. Some of you might want to write this down. Goals are dreams with a deadline. Goals are dreams with a deadline. If you don't put a deadline on your dreams, sometimes they never come to pass. Did you hear me? If you don't put a deadline on something, yeah, Lord, thank you. He says, I really like that. You're going to have to put a deadline on some things. Goals are good. Well, you know, just whatever the Lord wants to do. Stop it. Well, I'm just going along. I'm retired now. I'm just going along. Stop it. No, you're not. You may be retired from the job you had, but you are flowing, and it can be done gracefully and easily in the kingdom of God. You're still an ambassador. Okay, now, so if you don't put a deadline on a dream, sometimes it don't come to pass. Now here's the next thing. When you commit things to paper, achievement naturally follows that. Have we experienced that? Most of the times when Danny and I are cut from the same cloth about things, we like to check things off. We did that. And there's that. Then you have that success feeling. All right, we did it. Now we can move to something else. You're going to see success. One of the things that Sissy and I and Deb, we all did this in our early days. We would put our goals and dreams on the refrigerator. Because, you know, you go there a lot. And, which maybe the goal needs to maybe not go there quite as often. Unless you're going to get a carrot. Amen. Yum. Yeah. Actually, I like them. I'm working on salmon. Okay. Okay. But Danny's, that's another thing we're cut from the cloth about. We're both like salmon. No. We'll find something. Praise the Lord. But you see what I'm saying. If you're going to have the achievement, write it down. What do we used to do? The dream boards, vision boards. Those are good too. Do a vision board. Put it out there for this year. We kind of fell off the last few years on that, it seems like. But we're back.
Amen.
And we already have things set up. Deb and I have already had a meeting, and then we sent out to the staff, and then it's going to go out to the leaders, and then it's coming out to you. But I've already told you we're going to achieve your health, your wealth, your peace and prosperity. Yeah. Yeah. And good relationships. Okay. Now, so let's go on down here. So healthy finances and a prosperous life, healthy body, mind, healthy relationships. Now, what did God say about finances? What does the word say? Not to the people who persecute us for being prosperity preachers. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Those prosperity preachers. Well, what are y'all? The broke preachers? The despair preachers? I don't want to be named as that. Call me a prosperity preacher. It's just dumb. But they don't realize that. I love them. Eyes of their understanding being enlightened. That's right. But the word says that God was the provider. He built the Garden of Eden, put it all together before He ever put them in it. He gave them everything. Put it all right there for them. So He is the provider. Abraham Abraham, yes, called him a name. He called him Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is the provider. You're the demand. He's the provide. When I say demand, you know what I mean by that. He's ready to facilitate. He's ready to give you what you need and want. People have a hard time with that. They just don't think that God could be that good, but actually he is that good. And then what he did on top of giving them everything is he conferred something we call the blessing on them. Yeah. And so that was not just, and I bless you and y'all be happy in the garden. Have a wonderful time. Or Hachu bless you, or now let's bless this food. No, the blessing is the empowerment to prosper. He conferred the empowerment to prosper on Adam and Eve. And then when time went on, he conferred it on Noah. He conferred it on Abraham. When it got on Abraham, it spread. That's when the leaven started. Because he said, you will be blessed to be a blessing. And that's your commission, to be blessed to be a blessing. Not just to be blessed, but to be blessed to be a blessing. Yeah, I'll say that. How many of you have been to Israel? How many of you have just seen pictures of Israel? How many of you know there's something called the Dead Sea? How many of you know why it's the Dead Sea? It doesn't have an outlet. Everything just runs into it, but nothing runs out of it. There's no outlet, so it's not prosperous. So if you're going to get this blessing that's on you, this anointing to prosper on you, then you're going to have to bless. Amen. And if you're going to bless and you haven't, Lord, I'm going down the line here. If you haven't liked what you've been blessed with so far, guess you better turn your blessing part up. Not just talking about money, talking about service, talking about love, talking about friendliness, talking about joy, talking about what you do with your life, your words. Okay, so anyway, the blessing came all the way down to us just for proof for those that may be watching. Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangs on the tree. Jesus was hung on the cross. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, I am blessed. Say this, I am blessed to be a blessing. Say it again, I am blessed to be a blessing. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Look at somebody else and tell them, you're blessed to be a blessing. Now that's your job. That's your assignment. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Who gave you the power to get wealth? God did. What is wealth for? It's to be a blessing, but if you want to break it down to three things, number one, it's to establish covenant. God brings you wealth so you will receive it. And you'll keep covenant. It's part of establishing the covenant. He needs you to be the receiver. And then number two is to destroy the works of the devil. If you have some funds, you can destroy the works of the devil. And we've done that many times over. Church, just a small side trail here. There are people that come to the church that we will try to help, but sometimes they won't let us. We can't get through to them. I just want you to know that we will help them so far, and then they don't want, even financially, sometimes you can't get through to them. And so I just want you to know that we do reach out to the people. And I know many of you have reached out to people that have come through here, and sometimes they just, you can only get them to receive so far. And so, but to destroy the works of the devil. So, on a lot of levels, I mean, church, now think about this. When you gave to Aliyah, and we brought, how many people did we bring?
The
24. 24 people missed the war in Ukraine. That's destroying the works of the devil. They are now living in their homeland. I'm so blessed about that. Amen. And then the third thing is to take the gospel around the world. Takes money to get the message out. Takes money to be on TV. Takes money for us to just be on Facebook. We had to buy a camera and do what we do. It takes money to get the word out. It takes an effort to get things done. Yeah, I can tell them that right now if you want me to. Okay. One of the goals that's going to be coming out to you is that we are going to go on the mission field. God's going to show us where we're going to serve in another country in 2023. So you can be praying about that. That's really on my heart, and I believe we're going to reach out to another country on a personal level. Now, so wealth is important. So your calling is this. Now, don't shudder over this. Are you ready? Here's your calling. Be wealthy. Well, you know, that's evil. That's not evil. It's if you love it that it's evil.
There you go.
If you love God, you could get $1 million tomorrow and give it away the next day, depending on what He wants you to do. Money's not in charge of me. I'm in charge of it. That's where you have to do some soul searching. What you gonna do? Are you asking, is this seed or is this bread? Amen. You're gonna have to be big to do that. So you can have what you need, and you can have what you need. You can have what you want, and you can destroy the works of the devil in your life, and you can get the good news out. Yeah, Pastor, I get that, but I don't know how. I don't know how you're telling me to do that. Well, I'm going to work on telling you that for the next weeks. But this is what I can tell you right now. Work the kingdom. Faith. Use your faith. Worship God. Use your divine-given authority. Feed your spirit. Renew your mind. Get in charge of your emotions. Get the truth. And check yourself out. What does your giving look like? You know, what does your life look like? What does your confession look like? What does your stewardship look like? What are you thinking about all the time? Are you living in the kingdom system or in the world system? Because there's higher places to live. Mm-hmm. Ooh, Jesus. Okay. Stop laughing, Deb. I know many of you are just believing God to get a good credit rating so you can buy a home or buy a car. We're going to go a lot higher than that. We're talking debt-free home, debt-free car. And I'm not knocking you for where you're at, okay? But I'm telling you, you're going higher. That's the kingdom desire. Because if you're debt-free, nobody is in charge of you. Nobody but Jesus. You don't have a covenant with anyone else. So we'll go higher. Amen. Well, let me just ask you, would you like to have a debt-free home? Could you have a debt-free home?
Yes.
Well, in about 30 years, I might have one. No. No. Would you like to have a debt-free car?
Yeah.
Well, what's the purpose of that? Why not? Why not have that monthly payment of, I don't know, if I had a car payment, it was something like $1,200 a month. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I could use that money for something else.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm just trying to think, get your thinking going. Yeah, Pastor, I'm not even to the level. I'm still buying a car for a 21% interest rate or something. Well, it's time to get better. It's time to do things better. Well, I've got one. I have 0%. Well, great, but how about if you didn't even have to have one? See, some of you are like, I don't know how I'd ever get there. God! You may have to take steps to get there, but you can get there. Get a good credit rating. Great. And then move on. Move forward. I'm not meddling. I didn't even want to say that, but the Lord is pushing me a little bit here. So think higher. Let's think higher. Let's think higher. What could happen? I know two individuals who, they were just given their property. Someone just gave it to them. Might as well be me.
Amen.
I've found a lot of favor over the years, and I do have a debt-free home. But I've also paid an owner finance thing several times in my life. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a car payment in the 2000s, I don't guess, much of it. Maybe one car, and then it was gone pretty quick. You can go higher.
Yes, we can.
Now, what's the point of this, Pastor? The point of this is so that you're comfortable so you can do what God called you to do at any time. So that if God said, go get a plane ticket, you need to go see so-and-so, you could do it and you wouldn't be stuck. Or go get in your car and drive to so-and-so and you're like, my car ain't going to make it. I need to do something. I don't think my car is going to make it. Well, that's not the one you want to be in. Amen. All right, let's go on down the line here. Here's some scripture. Exodus 15:26 is going to tell you something about your health. Let's look and see what God then says about health. We looked at what God said about wealth. Let's look and see what God says about health. Exodus 15:26 says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 23:25 says, So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness from the midst of you. Psalm 30:2 says, O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. Psalm 30:3 says, O Lord, you brought my soul from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Sickness is in the curse in Deuteronomy. And so we've been redeemed from the curse. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 that Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of who?
The devil.
The devil, for God was with him.
Right.
Now, let's just be real sensible about this. Jesus said a kingdom divided cannot stand.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Can it?
No.
Jesus said it couldn't. God can't make you sick and then Jesus heal you.
Right.
But the devil will make you sick and Jesus will heal you.
Right.
God does not have sickness in him. And he does not have cancer, and he does not have car wrecks. And do not err, my brethren. Do not be tempted. God will not tempt you. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, who has no shadow of turning. He's always the same. He's always good.
Always.
And so when you're faced with these situations, what does the word say? Well, I don't have enough money to pay my boat payment. Well, what does the word say? Well, I don't have enough money to pay my rent. Well, what does the word say? Well, I don't have enough money to get my car. Well, what does the word say? Well, I don't have enough money to, I don't feel like I'm getting healed. Well, what does the word say? Well, I don't feel very healthy. Well, what does the word say? Well, the doctor said I've got, 35 years to live only. Well, what does the word say? It says 120. Well, so what does the word say? What does the word say? We just read what the word said, right? So God is in the healing business. There's did the 101. I've done it many times. 101 scriptures on healing where Keith Moore put I am in there. I took every one of those. I listened to everyone. I stopped it. I wrote the scripture down. I looked it up. I underlined it and I repeated it. Do that and get your health. I'm still working on it. I had some attacks, as y'all know. I coughed too hard and messed up my voice, but it's back. But there's things we're working on, okay? Nobody's arrived, but we can do it. And it can get better and better. And so, Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Do you hear that? Keep them in the midst of, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the forces, the issues of life. Keep your spirit full of the word, because the power you need to be healed and well is in your spirit. It'll spill over into your body. The power of God can enter every cell. Every cell has a door. Yep. And every door can be opened. And the Spirit of God can get into your body and heal your body. Yes. Amen. Amen. And that's what you're looking for. The anointing can remove the burden and destroy the yoke. And you have, look, think about this. Y'all know Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, forget not his benefits. What are the two top benefits? He forgives all your sins and what?
Heals
all your diseases. Now, Jesus asked a question. He asked them, which is easier, to forgive a man his sins or to heal them? Remember him asking that? Oh, they were mad. They're upset about that. Who can forgive sins but God? Well, obviously Jesus, because he is. But the point being here is, let me just ask you, have you been forgiven of your sins?
Yes.
Then he's healed your diseases.
Boom.
Get that. Get a hold of that. What does the word say? That's what the word says. You hard of hearing? He healed your diseases. He forgave you your sins, healed you, your diseases. Don't feel good, some part of your body, he healed it. Bad doctor's report, he's healed it. Sometimes I get off on a bad trail, I'm just going to tell on myself, and I'll try. Now, I don't take any pharmaceutical medication. I've never had to. But sometimes I'll get off on trying to fix something, and I mean, I'm trying every elixir there is in the vitamin world.
Yeah.
You know, I can fix this with this, and I'll take this with this, and I'm gonna say, you know, you should, I mean, there's a lot of vitamins in my house. But I need to put the word first.
Yes.
And then ask him what to put in my body. And he'll show you. Because not everything's for you. Just because it worked for old Jim Dandy doesn't mean it worked for you. Right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so we need to put the word first. He said he healed us. Amen. Now, so if you would, pray this after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Your word says, by your stripes I was healed. I believe your healing power is going to work in me right now. I now receive the power to make me sound, whole, delivered, saved, and healed. Sickness, disease, and pain, I resist you in the name of Jesus. You are not the will of God. I enforce the word of God on you. I will not tolerate you in my life. My days of sickness and disease are over. Jesus bore my sickness, weakness, pain, and I'm free forever. Father, thank you for watching over your word to perform it on my behalf. I praise you and I bless you in Jesus' name. Do you receive that now?
Yes.
Amen. Now we've got one more to go here, and we're going to go quickly. We've hit the finances, or the prosperity, more than finances. We've hit the health. Now, what does the Bible say about healthy relationships? What, everybody went, oh no, we gotta go. No. The truth is, are you ready? I'm gonna tell you the main thing. You got to focus on you. Not your husband, not your wife, not your children, not your pastor, you. I'm gonna have to focus on me. The Bible has a lot to say about healthy relationships. But you have to focus on you. And as we get into this truth in the coming days, we will have to look about at some certain things. I feel like I need to say this back up just one moment because we're almost done. I'm going to back up one moment and say, that person in my life, blah, 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 blah. Now, you're helping that person be that way. Yeah. Well, my husband, he just won't blah, blah, blah. Well, you're helping him be that way. Well, my wife, no. Well, you're helping him by your mouth and your attitude and your thoughts. So if you're not happy with the people in your life, start saying something good about them. If you're not happy with me, you might want to start saying something good about me. Can't even imagine, but... Actually, I can, but it would behoove us to start saying the right things, because leaven spreads. Okay. Now, but let's look at all relationships. Here's what you're going to have to watch out for. Offended. Being offended is going to be it. That's the bait of Satan. And then understanding the offended, understanding people who are offended, living in deception, pride, true heart condition, and emotions. There's something that pilots call vertigo. And it's a condition they encounter when their senses tell them that they're flying a certain way. Their aircraft is doing something different than what the instrument says. You with me? For example, they may feel like they're right side up and the instrument might be saying, you're upside down, you're upside down, let's get this right. Am I right? Okay. It's called vertigo. Their emotions have them flipped over the wrong way. The instrument says, fly this way. Just fly this way, okay? Now, this is our instrument. Fly this way, okay? And so it presents a challenge for them, but so they have to fly by faith and not by sight. So-and-so is really mean to me. I know they don't love me. Wrong response. I declare so-and-so does love me. I declare they love me. And I'll spread that leaven. Or I declare that I'm accepted in the beloved, whether so-and-so loves me or not. That's better. Okay, so you have to have complete confidence in your instrument, and you have to override your feelings. You have to override your feelings, church. You hear me? You have to override your feelings with this word of God. I don't know why so and so went home early. What are you? We all pitched in, we all worked, we all gave, we all called, we all went over, we all prayed, we all stood, we all did all these things. I just think maybe it was the will of God. Bonk! You don't know everything. Well, we all got together, we all prayed. Why didn't things happen? Why didn't we have a red wave? You're going to have to stay on the instrument.
Yep.
It's not over.
That is right.
Whatever, whichever way you go, you're going to have to stay, which we do, but you know what I'm trying to say. So, feelings are neither positive or negative. They feel like it, but they really aren't. They're just feelings. And they should not be the dominant factor in your decision making.
Amen.
I'm leaving the church because Pastor, she acts like she's mad at me all the time. That's not the instrument. She's just needling everybody all the time and none of her business. That's just feelings. I tell my, I put out every possible, little bait out here and there to try to get my husband to get me that Christmas gift, and he didn't even notice. He didn't notice. He didn't get me that. He don't love me. That's not the instrument. You get mad and you want to leave. Well, I don't believe that. Well, hang around for a little while. Maybe you'll find it in the scripture. You plan a whole week in thinking about how you're going to answer somebody or how you're going to leave or what you're going to do. Or if they say one word, more word to me, I'm packing my bags. Y'all are all looking straight ahead like, we got to get out of here. We're going. Don't act like you haven't thought of that. We've all thought of that. It's coming from the devil. We got to be smarter than that. Oh, no, I've never thought of that. I'm loyal. You're lying. That's what you are. Because the devil's told every one of us something like that. I'm making them pay. I'll make them pay. They don't do what I want them to do. The word of God is the instrument. Emotions should be a teaching tool. If we get mad, we need to ask why we got mad. Why did I get so mad? Why did Tabasco sauce come up my legs? Why am I so mad? Did you know that I can't make you mad? It's already something that's lying on the inside of you that gets stimulated. Yeah. And you need to deal with it. Other people don't make you mad. There's something in you. You can't make me feel rejected. If I'm rejected, it's something on the inside of me that happened probably by the time I was 5. Rejection begets rejection. Hurt people hurt people. And a lot of people will reject you before you have a chance to reject them because they don't want to get rejected.
Yeah.
And then some people just want to win.
Yeah.
It's all about emotions. Think back to high school. And when that boyfriend broke up with you, you weren't having it. You're going to at least get them back long enough so you could break up with them. Am I right, Dip?
Yes.
Both of us. Boom. I can remember being like that. He ain't breaking up with me. See, there she's going, ah, no. See, these are all just emotional things. Now, emotions have their place. It's when I love you and all those kind of good things are how we felt when we sat by Virginia's bed, how we had compassion, how we loved her, how we didn't want her to leave us, how we get news on the phone and cry for him. That's good stuff. But not staying in depression. Depression is an inward temper tantrum. It's when you get mad and you turn it on yourself instead of being hostile to other people. Both are wrong. You shouldn't be hostile toward yourself or hostile to the other people. Hostility's wrong. You can get angry, but sin not. I've had my staff walk with me in that room in there. And I'll say, I'll tell you, I'm angry right now. I'm angry. But we stopped. We just prayed right there. I'm angry right now. But don't take it out on someone.
Yeah.
I apologize y'all, but I'm angry right now when someone does something stupid. But just don't start getting hostile toward other people.
Amen.
Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, there have been times I have been angry and taken it out on other people, and you have too. We've been guilty of it. Or taking it out on myself. I can't tell you the times the devil has, I've heard him fight me. You're no good. You haven't done nothing. You've never accomplished anything. You've never influenced anyone. You're a loser. And everyone in here has heard that same, those same sentences. And he's a liar.
Yes, he is.
Are we getting anywhere? Now I'll say this and we'll close. People keep it bottled up inside. Finally it comes out as a migraine or a nervous stomach or some kind of illness. When you start bottling up your emotions, you start feeling sick. This is all due to something, and we're going to go into this in detail. I've got some things to show you on the screen. But what happens here is self is running your life. Self. When self gets in the center, you start having emotional problems and then sick problems. You do. Now, I'm not saying there aren't outward attacks. There are. Obviously, there's allergies. Obviously, Satan wants to attack you. Obviously, some things come because of what you eat. Some things become how you be. You know, there's all sorts of things. But one of the biggest things is your emotions. Okay, I'm going to have to go ahead and meddle. I'm going to say something real common, but we're in Texas. Gut and emotions. What goes on inside your intestinal tract is a big deal as to how healthy you are.
Yeah.
It's true. That's where almost all disease comes from, is how you treat your inward parts. You don't put pink gas in that new car or the old car either. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm preaching to myself. Been too much sugar in the gas tank. Too much bread in the gas tank. Too much junk. Now y'all go, yes, Pastor, you need to straighten that out. Get on that treadmill, Pastor. Okay. Now, but let's go back to emotions as we finish up. When Christ is in the center, if you'll take self out of the center and put Jesus in the center, then things are going to change. And you're going to have to do this daily. You won't be frustrated. You'll be at peace. You have to practice this, church. You have to work it. Or else you're just going to spin off all the time. You're just going to be spinning off all the time. Yeah, you know, when something happens, no, I'm shalomed. I have peace. No, I'm not reacting to that. And no, I'm not going to swallow it and repress it myself either. I will go and take it to Jesus. Lord, I didn't like what they said to me, but this is up to you. And you just, you know, you're going to have to help me with this. Now, I want to tell you something very, very important. And we'll go back and look at this again. You can't change your emotions. The Holy Spirit does it. You use your will and make the choice, and then Holy Spirit comes in and will change how you feel about things. People don't know that, but it's the truth. Perfect example. Did you hear what so-and-so said? I hate them. That's how you feel. You got that emotion. You weren't thinking, I hate them. The devil said that. He planned it. Okay? And so you go, or maybe you did say it. But you're like, I mean, it's coming from the source of the darkness. So what are you going to do with that? No, I forgave them. I chose to forgive them. I choose to forgive them. Holy Spirit, please help my feelings catch up with the truth. And then the next time you see them, hi, everything's good. But if it isn't, you say it again. Nuh-uh. I chose to forgive them. And if you have to say it again, no, I chose to forgive them. Well, what if I don't want to forgive them? Well, you're kind of putting yourself at risk. Not kind of. You are. Jesus forgave you. What we all must understand is the stone theory. He who is without sin, cast the first stone. None of us can do that. And so just because someone acted ugly, stabbed you in the back, did whatever they did, treated you bad, lied to you, cheated, whatever, well, you're just in the same guilty pot as they are. You know, kettle, pot. It's true. Oh, they didn't? A black kettle, black pot? Okay, that's good. Praise the Lord. So, what? Well, you see what I'm saying? We're all on the same playing field. Choose. This is good for us. The only thing going on, if you don't forgive someone, it's like taking poison and hoping someone else will die. It's not going to change a thing. You're taking the poison. They're over there living their life. You're mad. Did I help anybody today?
Yeah.
You get well. You get healed. You come out of depression. You turn off the temper tantrum. You let the Holy Spirit help you with that. You choose to love whether someone loves you back. You do that. You take the blame sometimes. I know that's really hard for some of y'all. I mean, I have a few friends and you're in this room and you'll fight me to the end to say make sure you get the last word. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to stop. Cause I'm getting, no, none of us need to. We need to just go, just say, okay, I might be wrong. It'll save a lot of heartache. And do not come up to me and ask me if it's you. Cause I won't lie. We've all done it, but you don't have to be. You don't have to have the final answer. You don't have to be right. I mean, you know, just walk away and go, I'm right. No, I'm kidding. You see it? This is good for us. If you're going to have a healthy relationship, you're going to have to turn some of you off. You can't be self and the sinner. You don't need to try to convince me that your way is better. I don't need to try to convince you that my way is better. No, wait, this is better. This one's better. No, this one's better. I take this vitamin C. It's better. It's better. It's better. It's better. No, this one's better. Who cares? Take the one God picked out for you. Right? Okay, we'll go home. Praise the Lord. God is so good. If you're adjusted psychologically, there's not as much disparity that's going on in your feelings, and with your facts either. But people who are inferior, which you probably have been at one time or another, if you feel inadequate, if you feel unacceptable, if you're continually faced with a bunch of emotions, it's time to deal with it. Because you're going to have a great year, if you will. And so, those things all just distort the facts. And, let me say this to you. People that distort their facts are called, it's called neurosis. You're neurotic. Okay. Somebody said one time, the neurotic builds the castles in the air, the psychotic lives with them, and the psychiatrist collects the rent. Really? But Jesus will heal you for free. And so we don't have to be neurotic or narcissistic or psychotic, or which you don't know, my chemistry's all messed up. Well, let's get it straightened out. We can. Holy Spirit will help us. I understand chemically imbalanced. I do. It's not so much a brain emotion thing with me, but I understand some things about it. I've had friends and family that have dealt with it. Chemicals boil down to thoughts that come down in your neuropeptides and enter the cells of your body, and they wreak havoc on you. And so those things can be changed too, and Jesus can do it. Am I saying, I know some of you are like, well, I guess you're just saying we need to throw away our pill, our pink pill or whatever. I'm not saying anything of the kind. I'm saying just start trusting God wherever you are. That's what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So here's our part. We're going to close with this. Learn to trust the instrument, the infallible word of God. Okay? Believe his promises. They're true. Renew your mind. And then here comes your soul into this. You choose with your will what you're going to have and say, and then Holy Spirit will bring you up. That's how it works. So probably within the next 24 hours, you will have an encounter with someone somewhere, whether it's the lady at the cashier booth or Starbucks or at your home or whatever it is, wherever it is, you will probably, maybe before you walk out the store, I pray not. But you can put this to work right now. What does the word say? The word says I'm accepted in the beloved. The word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word says he wants me prosperous and healthy. The word says I can have good relationships. This word, the word says I am lovable. I can be loved. The word says I don't need to be rejected all the time. Amen? That's what the word says. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we are people who love. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll have to say one more thing to you, but he won't let me not say this. I know that there are people in your life that you love, and you feel like you love them, and you don't feel like they love you back. I understand that. But let me say something to you. When you employ the kingdom of God, you sow into the spirit. Sow the love into the spirit realm. Sow it into the spirit realm, and you will reap a harvest of love from people. Sow it into the spirit realm. Are you listening to me? God wants you to hear that. It's not just you and me and our emotions with each other. Sow something bigger. There's a deeper love than, you know, who's that brother? You know, that kind of love. There's a deeper love than, hey, baby. There's a friendship love. There's a, I'll scratch your back if you'll scratch mine. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the love that you sow into a deeper place, and God will come back you up, and you will be loved, and you will sense that love and have that love. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord.